Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Given the time limits, I stopped reading it at a given point, and I think you're right that this is actually the most adequate place to address this as a cross-cutting issue, this important topic that has been really gathering momentum for quite some time, and it is one of the, it has been said for a long time, this low-hanging fruit that we need to pick. It's one of the most substantive issues as well that can come out. Let me start again then with a specific claim and then one several sub-points of that. And that claim is that the efforts to seek a compromise approach ahead of the review conference should focus on a hybrid approach that has both an open-ended group and a limited group. And I do that with the desire and hope that we can engage in a more detailed discussion here on some of the elements that could be a part of that. Both the open-ended and the limited groups should strive for relevant technical expertise and a broad range of technical specialties, as well as adequate geographic diversity, gender balance, and political independence. Only citizens of states parties should be eligible to be members of the open-ended and limited groups or of any temporary working group that might be established. The open-ended group would be aimed at ensuring the inclusive character of the overall review process. Experts from all states parties should be able to participate in the deliberations of the open-ended group. The open-ended group would consider the agenda items and provide their findings as food for thought for the limited group. On the basis of the discussions in the open-ended group, the limited group would consider the same agenda items and prepare a consensus report to the states parties with conclusions and recommendations. The number and length of term should be a part of a multilateral negotiation that results in consensus. Members of the limited group should be drawn from regional groups, ensuring geographic diversity and gender balance. Their appointment should be based on their demonstrated expertise in particular scientific fields relevant to the implementation of the convention. Such persons should be selected based on their qualifications and experience, taking into account their publications, scientific, academic, or professional activities and distinctions with due regard to the area of specialty. States parties should also be able to establish temporary working groups to provide recommendations on a specific scientific and technological issue relevant to the convention that requires in-depth study and participation by outside experts. The chairs of the open-ended and limited groups, after consulting with their respective groups, may propose to states parties to establish such a temporary working group. Each temporary working group should be chaired by a member of the open-ended or limited group appointed for that purpose by the annual PwC Bureau or another body that is chosen in negotiations, in close coordination with the chairs of the open-ended and limited groups. Members of the temporary working groups would likewise be appointed by a body again decided in multilateral negotiations in close coordination with the chairs. The mechanism should, as a first order of business, following a REFCON decision to set it up, develop its rules of procedure. These rules should, at a minimum, have the following elements: mode of operation, observers, ISU support, languages, and reports. Maintaining the independence of the advisory process from political influence is essential for its credibility and long-term value. Providing adequate financial and personnel resources for reviewing S&T developments that could affect the implementation of the convention is an essential part of the adoption of an S&T review mechanism. Increased funding would be required both for meetings and for staff support. The open-ended group and the limited group should each hold at least one in-person meeting per year. To ensure adequate staff support, a new technically trained expert staff member would need to be added to the ISU, together, potentially, and hopefully, with an international cooperation officer. So these are some of the elements that we should be focusing on within this framework of a hybrid approach, which seems to be, to my delegation, the best way forward on this issue. Thank you, Mr. Chair.